serves them completely. Open and freely, guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. For payment, for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For the soul that remains sincere, with a conscience clear, guard your heart. My child, guard your heart from this world, from the tears and pain. It's full of regrets and shame. Live a life that is pure and true in all that you do. Vessels pure and holy, pure and empty. Guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For the soul that remains sincere, guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For the soul that remains sincere, with a conscience clear, guard your heart.
Thank you, Brother Nick. Let's all grab our Bibles, please. And we can turn this one on. Ephesians chapter number 5, if you could stand together with me, please. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25. I love our church. This is, for me, the only church I've ever known. I walked in the back door probably 10 years ago, a wayward Christian with baggy clothes, a shaved head, an earring in my ear, hopeless, no purpose in life. And God used this church to change my life. Amen. And I love this church. Yep. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I say that to say the message today may be a little bit rough. But I'm not trying to hurt our church. I love our church. Amen. I want to see this church continue to go forward for 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the Lord should tarry. Ephesians chapter 25, or excuse me, Ephesians 5, verse 25, the Bible tells us here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me say today, church, don't allow anybody to try to tell you that church is not important. No, right here, Jesus said, I love the church. As a matter of fact, I died for the church. Don't let anybody try to tell you that going to church is not important. Watching TV and having church at home, that's not church. Watching the TV preachers, and I'm not necessarily preaching on against TV preachers, but what I'm trying to say is that's not church. Church is important. Jesus Christ died for the church. Turn to your left, please. Matthew chapter number 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse number 18. The Bible says here, this is Jesus speaking, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This morning I want to remind us that this is God's church. This is not the staff's church. This is God's church. And God is the master builder. And God said, I will build my church. Church is important today. This is God's church. And God said, He will build the church. Turn back with me, if you could, please, to Ephesians chapter number 4. One more verse and we'll pray and you can be seated. Ephesians chapter number 4. I apologize. I should have told you to put something there because we're turning right back to it. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says here, for whom, this, if you read it later on, you read in the context that this is referring to the church here and how God places people and how He builds His church, okay? Verse number 16, for whom the whole body, comparing the church to a body, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God, this, and I love this. I love God. I love how, you see, God, in His sovereignty, has placed you in the church today. Yes. And this local called out assembly of saved and baptized believers is like a body. And every single one of us here today has a purpose in the body. And it's amazing to see how God has gifted and given abilities to each and every single one of us, all to the building of the church. So what, the question today, does God use? Obviously people, but what does God use to build His church? The title of the message today is Pillars in the Church. And let's pray. Father, thank You for Pacific Baptist Church. Thank You for this haven of rest, this hospital for sinners, this place that we can call home. Away from the world and the problems and the burdens and the culture, and come to the house of God. Lord, I pray that You bless our time together. Give us wisdom. Help me to be a blessing and encouragement to Your church today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, with me to one other portion of scriptures here today. Turn to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, we'll have a little bit of intro, then we'll get moving here in just a moment. Galatians chapter number 2, verse 7. Galatians 2, verse 7. The Bible says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, this is the Apostle Paul here, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, So here now, the gospel is beginning to get out to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And Paul was kind of the forerunner of the gospel, reaching those. That's what the uncircumcision was. That was the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, if you would. Peter was given the gospel to take to those of the circumcision or the Jewish people. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be, what's that next word, church? Can you say it again?
Pillars.
Pillars, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Here, God is building the very first church, and he makes sure that as he's building, he uses some pillars. Back in the Bible times, many large buildings were built with pillars, kind of like these are today. Now, I don't believe these are weight-bearing pillars, but they make a great illustration for the church today. As back in the Bible times, when they would build large buildings, they would make sure they would erect pillars just like these. Some of the probably most famous are the Parthenon. And maybe many of us don't know the Parthenon, but I'm sure if you saw a picture of it, you'd say, oh, it's one of the most famous of all Greek architecture, and most of the building has fallen down, but you can still see a little bit of remnants of the building, and guess what? And those pillars are still there. You also have the columns at Corinth. Both of these sets of pillars, the Parthenon and the columns in Corinth, have stood the test of time. These pillars are somewhere around 2,500 years old, and they're still in existence today. The success to those buildings rests solely upon the pillars. The success to the early church, as we read it right here, also rested upon spiritual pillars. Men like Peter, James, and John. Let me say this, church, that the success to Pacific Baptist Church, as she grows and goes forward, will also rest upon some pillars in the church. More than we need some program, more than we need some kind of promotion, more than we need prizes in the church needs some pillars today. If this church, Pacific Baptist Church, is going to stand the test of time, is going to stand the storms and the trials of life, this church must have some pillars. Allow me this morning to give you four characteristics of pillars today. Let me say, number one, pillars need to be upright and straight. If a pillar is not straight, it will not fulfill its purpose. If a pillar is crooked or bent just a little bit, it will be very crooked down the line. Now, I'm not very... I'm not real good at construction, but having all the staff out on the job site, I've learned a little bit, and so I found this out, that a little difference down here makes a big difference up there. If you were to be just, you know, it's just a quarter of an inch off a little bit down here, well, you run that out 20, 30 feet down the road, and that quarter inch will become a lot more. A pillar needs to be upright and straight. We need to have some pillars that are upright and straight, pillars that are not leaning to the left. God is not going to build his church with crooked pillars. The thing with a straight pillar is it is always the same. It's the same here as it is up there. If that pillar is straight, if that pillar is not leaning, it will be the same 5, 10, 15, 25 years down the road. Things around the pillar may change. Maybe the paint on the walls may change. The decorations on the platform may change. The carpet may change. All these things around the pillar may change. However, that pillar will remain the same. It will be straight. And that's the kind of spiritual pillars we need in the church today. Our country has changed. As I mentioned last week, the first college in America was Harvard University, was started for the purpose of training men and women for the ministry. Other colleges such as Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Brown, all of their purposes was to train men and women for the ministry. But things have changed. The culture has changed. Obviously, we all know this, but now there's, who would have ever thought, I don't believe that our founding fathers, when they founded this great nation of ours, would have ever imagined that in the year 2015, people would now be redefining God's definition of marriage. We've kicked God out of the public schools, and we've taken the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, and we've done everything we can to push God away. Our culture has changed. Churches change. Churches are now beginning to take the name Baptist off their church, because they're a little afraid that people might be offended. And churches have now, and I just read this, that Christian schools have now begun to kind of skirt around some of their policies and rules to accept the homosexual agenda. Churches will change. People change. I remember when I first came to this church about 10 years ago, there was a young man who took some interest in me, and he invested in me, and he took me out to eat, and he cared for me, and he loved me, and he kind of, I guess in a sense, I kind of looked up to him. He was the first one that really, by the way, church, make sure you see somebody new in the church, and you go up to them, and you shake their hand, and you love them a little bit. But let me just say this, people change. That man's no longer in church. That man's living a totally different lifestyle. You know why? Because people change. Churches may change, and people may change, and the culture may change, and all these things may change. But let me remind you today that God's word is always the same. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need some pillars in the church that will not change. Don't change, church. Don't change. Don't change what you believe about God. Don't change what you believe about the Bible. Don't change what you believe about church. Don't change what you believe about music. Don't change what you believe about modesty. Don't change what you believe about family. Don't change what you believe about missions. Don't change what you believe about soul winning. Don't change what you believe about people. Hey, don't change. Don't change, church, today. Don't change. Proverbs 24:21 says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Hey, stay away from people that change. Hey, stay away from them. Meddle not. Don't get involved with them. Don't hang out with them. Get off the social media and stop associating with those that change. I've known people that I went to Bible college with. Man, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And again, I came into church with an earring and a shaved head and not looking like the rest of us. And I went to a Bible college. I thought I was going to be the worst person there. I probably was. And I hardly owned a shirt and tie. And I was so embarrassed. I had to go out and get clothes because I was going to wear the same thing every day. I barely knew how to tie a tie. And some of those people I went to Bible college with are not even in church today. They're drinking and partying and living a life. You say, why? Because people change. Hey, we need some upright and straight pillars today. Let me say this. People will often say to you, to me, "You're just too old-fashioned. Man, you're too old-fashioned, and the way you act, and why don't you change? The culture's changed, and people have changed, and churches changed. Hey, why don't you change?" Because we got an old-fashioned God.
And we got an old-fashioned book. And I still believe in old-fashioned morals and values. And we're going to be a church that doesn't change. The thing about change is it's very hard to tell if you're changing. Hosea 7:9 says, strangers had devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. Now, as you can tell, I have a very dark head of hair. But my wife pointed out to me the other day that I got a couple gray hairs. So I told her, pull those things out. And I guess if I had to choose between going bald and going gray, I would much go gray. Right? Sure. But those gray hairs, if you have some gray hairs today, I think if you remember that they came very slowly. One day you looked in the mirror and maybe you saw a few. And as the years went by, you saw a few more. Until all of a sudden, one day you woke up and you looked in the mirror and you said, wow, I am all gray. You see, that's how change comes. Change comes very slowly. And we need to be careful, church. Let's not change. We said today that pillars need to be upright and straight. We say, number two, pillars are there to support. The purpose of the pillars in the Bible time were to support the tremendous amount of weight from the roof and the structure. Pillars were not for decoration. They had a specific purpose of carrying the load. Let me remind the church today, I'm all for looking nice. I'm all for having a nice haircut and learning how to match clothes and things like that. Learning how to comb your hair. I'm all for that. Hey, but let me remind some of the pillars in the church today, we're not for decorations. The pillars in the church are not to look good and to walk around and think that they're better than everybody else. No, the pillars are in the church are there to support, to carry the tremendous amount of weight that the church has. That's what the church needs is it goes forwards. It needs to have some burden bearers. It needs to have some people that are willing to carry the load. There are three ways that you can support the church today. Let me say number one, spiritually. Spiritually. Hey, when's the last time you prayed for the church? When's the last time that you prayed for Pastor Esposito, or when's the last time you prayed for Pastor Myers, or when's the last time you prayed for your Sunday school teacher, or the bus routes, or the nursery workers? When's the last time that you prayed for your church? I wonder how many of us attend the Saturday morning prayer meeting. I hope you're praying for your church. We have some ladies in Monterey Park. And God bless them. And they have this little, and maybe we can start something like this here, it's a prayer chain. And I'm sure, I know we have things like this. And it's, there's a need in the church. And we let one of the ladies know. And all of a sudden, a text message goes out. And all these ladies are praying for somebody in the church. Hey, what is that? Those are some pillars. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to support the church spiritually. Pillars support the church. They support the church spiritually. They also support the church physically. Hey, we need to support this church physically by going out soul winning on Tuesdays and Saturday mornings. Hey, we need to support this church physically by volunteering and cleaning around here and serving in the ministry. What are you trying to do? You're trying to support the church physically. And then lastly, financially. How does a pillar support the church? They support the church spiritually. They support the church physically. But then guess what? They also support the church financially. And thank you for reading that this morning, Brother Panay. That was good. On death is cheap. And we need people that are willing to give to the bus ministry and willing to give to missions and willing to give to the building and special offerings and, of course, tithe. What are they trying to do? You're trying to support the church financially. Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. and not to please ourselves. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me say that we can never have enough pillars. Don't ever think here this morning, oh, the church has enough people to carry the load. No, we need more. We always need more pillars. We always need new Sunday school teachers, and we always need new bus captains. By the way, we need some more bus drivers. I don't know the whole bus driver situation, but I just know that the church is always in need of some bus drivers. We need some more bus drivers, and we need some more ushers, and we need some more parking attendants, and we need some more greeters and nursery workers. Hey, the church is always in need of some more pillars. Let me say this about pillars. Pillars. Don't think that one pillar is better than another. Hey, you may be a pillar here today. Don't walk around with your nose stuck up in the air. Because no pillar, no one pillar is better than another. And every pillar has a purpose, and that's to bear the weight and the load of the church. All the pillars working together. I'll just go ahead and say it, and I don't believe this is in the church, but we don't want to have one ministry is better than another ministry in the church. Not the bus worker saying, ah, you know, those children's teachers, they're no good. And the children's teacher saying, oh, the nursery workers are no good. No. We're a bunch of pillars in this church, and we're holding up our little portion of the building to try to support it physically and financially and spiritually. Pillars are upright and straight. Pillars are there to support. Number three, pillars are fixtures in the church. That's what I love about pillars. They don't go anywhere. You walk out those doors, you come back in, guess what? That pillar's right there. Right where you left it, that's where that pillar will be. Storms may come and storms may blow and there may be difficult times in the church, but guess what? That pillar will always be there. That's what we need in the church. We need some men and some women that will say, by the grace of God, unless God picks me up and puts me somewhere else, I'm just going to stay right here. The average church member stays in a church for 7 years. The average pastor pastors a church for 7 years. I don't know what it is about the number seven. The average marriage lasts 7 years. You say, why? People move too much. People change too much. Looking for one thing, like pastors used to say, from honeymoon to honeymoon. Proverbs 26 says, but a faithful man, who can find? What does that mean? That means, unfortunately, most people just aren't faithful. But I think we have a bunch of faithful people here at Pacific Baptist Church. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. What does that mean? God has blessings in store for people that are just faithful. One of the most important qualities that a Christian can have is faithfulness. You may not be able to preach, and you may not be able to teach a Sunday school class, but one quality that we can all have is this thing of faithfulness. Man, I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my dad, 70 years old, faithful. He's not here today. That's why I want to talk about him. 70 years old, he's there on Tuesday nights. He's there on Saturday mornings. He's there on special days. He's setting up before church. He's tearing down after church. He's driving the church bus. A 70-year-old man. He can't teach a Sunday school class. He can't do a lot of things. But you know what? One thing I love about my dad is he's faithful. Rain or shine, I know he's right there. Right in his place, right where we left him, that's where he'll always be. You can help your church today by just being faithful. Hey, don't think, oh, if I don't go to church today, it's not a big deal. No, you can help your church by just you being in your seat. Amen. I dream about the day in Monterey Park when we can have Sunday school teachers that
that have been teaching their Sunday school class for 20 or 30 years. And we're a young church, but when guest preachers, they come in here and they talk about Sister so-and-so, and she's been teaching the second grade girls Sunday school class for 35 years. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I want to see that here at Pacific Baptist Church, and some of those children's Sunday school teachers teaching for 10, 15, 20, 25, and 35 years. You just need to be faithful. Let me say, this is a Sunday morning crowd. I know sometimes we think that God cannot use you. You say, I have a past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I've said and the places I've gone and the people I've run with. God can never use me. Let me tell you today that God can use you. The master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value. And I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, Master, gold would be the best. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel, I know I'll do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy your house to abide. The master came next to the vessel of wood. Polished and carved it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather use me for fruit, not for bread. Then the master looked down and saw the vessel of clay, empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor one who is narrow to sit on in the shelf, nor the one who is big mouth and shallow and loud, nor the one who displays his content so proud. No, not the one who thinks he can do things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you. The master is searching today. And you may have a past. You might be surprised. The person sitting right next to you probably has a past. But God can still use you. You just keep being faithful. You just keep doing those things that you know God wants you to do. You be faithful to spending time with Him each and every single day. You be faithful to church, and you be faithful to your ministries, and you just be faithful, and you'll be amazed at what God can do. Peter, James, and John were pillars in the church. Every church needs to have some pillars. Pillars are upright and straight. They're there to bear the burdens. They're always in their spot. And lastly, and I'm finished, pillars are built upon a solid foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation is God and His Word. We need men and women who have the Bible as the foundation in their lives. Not what you heard on TV. Not what you saw on a movie. Not what the friends were talking about in the break room, but what God and His Word has said. By the way we live our lives makes a difference. It makes a difference the way we do things. We need to be very careful of the liberal mindset out there. The liberal mindset says, oh, it doesn't matter. As long as you love God, you can do whatever you want. You be very careful of that mindset. Why? Because it matters. Cain, what happened to Cain? Cain brought an offering and God rejected it. Why? Because that's not the offering he was supposed to bring. Why? Because it matters. Saul went to make a sacrifice and God took away the kingdom from him. You say, why? Because it makes a difference. It matters. Why don't we bring the drums in here and the praise team and all that other stuff? Why? Because it makes a difference. It matters. Oh, but those people, they love God, and I'm not questioning whether they love God or not, but what I'm trying to tell you today is it makes a difference. It matters. I'll show you a verse here. Let's look at it together. Isaiah chapter 58. It makes a difference, church. I'm sure Cain, he loved God, and I'm sure Saul, he loved God, but it makes a difference the way we worship him. It makes a difference the way we live our lives. It makes a difference the way we rear our children. It makes a difference. Isaiah 58, verse number 13. Obviously, this is God was fed up with his people. Isaiah the prophet, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, is preaching away here. He's ripping God's people for really shallow Christianity. Prior in the chapter, he's talking about just hypocritical fasts. And now he moves to the way that they did church. Verse number 13 says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. God says, hey, it's not about you and your pleasure. This is my day. Hey, you come to the church, it's not about what makes you feel good. It's about what makes God feel good. Hey, my life is not my own, but I was bought with a price. It's not about what I want, it's what he wants. He says right there, he says, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. Hey, by the way, we want to honor God in all that we do. I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of my life bringing dishonor to my God. And we need to have church. And we need to have families. And we need to have men. And we need to have ladies. And we need to have teenagers and young people that honor God with their lives. Honorable. And thou shalt honor him. Not doing thine own ways. Hey, we don't come to church and do whatever we want. This is not our church. This is God's church. And he's rebuking them because they came to church and they were doing things that they wanted to do. He says, not doing thine own ways nor finding thine own pleasures. By the way, hey, our worship of God has nothing to do with the way that it makes me feel. And the charismatic Christianity out there says, well, it makes me feel this way, so therefore it must be good. Man, I feel a lot of things that are not very good for me. And just because it makes me feel good doesn't mean that it's pleasing and honorable to God. That's what he says right there. He says, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Church, it's not about me. It's not about you, but it's all about him. Yep. And it makes a difference. I'm excited about the future of our church. Amen. I believe the best days are ahead of us. But as we go forward, we're going to need some men and some women. They're going to step up and say, I'm willing to be a pillar. I may not look very pretty. Those pillars don't look very nice. And they may not have all the fancy carvings and things of that nature, but you know what? There are some men and some women that will say, I'm going to be a pillar. People that will not change. People that won't change. Church, don't change.
People that bear the burdens both physically, spiritually, and financially. People who are just faithful, pillars that are built upon the foundation of God's word. So my question is very simple. Will you be a pillar today? Will you be the man or the woman that God can use to build his church? Let's have some pillars as we move forward. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed.